Today, I invited a couple of my friends on to talk about chess clocks and Malif. So to have this convo, I invited a couple of my buddies on who I think are more anti-clock than myself. I come from, you know, War Machine and Go Ball and stuff, which use clocks. So to me, it's like clocks, why not? So I invited my friend Jesse on. How are you doing, buddy?
Howdy, howdy.
You getting any foe in? I think you're playing Asami, right?
I am just getting back into foe and feeling things out. I'm playing 10 Thunders right now. Spent a lot of time in Guild, and I just felt like a little change of pace. So, yeah.
That seems fun. I just traded all of my Neverborn for 10 Thunders as well. So
nice.
I might join you there when they nerf Explore.
Yeah, they just got done nerfing 10 Thunders, so I figure they're good for a little while, right?
Yeah, basically. And then second, I got Craig of Third Floor's fame on. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good, good, good.
You have not been getting info in, right? Mostly.
I have not played foe since the pandemic because I tried Vassal a few times, didn't care for it. Obviously, been staying on top of foe because of the podcast and whatnot. But no, it has been, we're approaching a year and a half, I think, since I have put a model on a table.
Damn, dude. At what point, what do you think is the like decision point and when you'll like will it be like a tournament or something that will be like, okay, I'm going to go up now?
Oh, well, Jesse's got a tournament here at the end of July. And if I wasn't already booked to record an episode that day, I would totally be there. So it's just an opportunity. See, the problem is that I, during the pandemic, filled up my days, right? So recording episodes, live streaming and all that stuff, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. And, you know, then now as we reopen, it's going to be a little bit, I've only got, you know, X amount of hours a week that I can devote to not being around my family.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll have to pull back a little bit on the live streams and the podcasts and stuff because I miss pushing models around and flipping cards.
That's exciting, dude. I have a tournament on Sunday. I'm so fucking stoked. I can't even describe it. I have all Explorers like fully painted and like,
dude, I saw
10
the pictures
of them hissing the table.
You're a goddamn animal.
Yeah, I'm going ham.
Yeah, I know exactly what's going to happen to me. Like right now, I mean, like I've worked past the point of missing foe, if that makes any sense. Like it's been so long now, I don't really miss it. Turn two. I'm gonna be like, God, I fucking miss this so much. I'm so glad I'm doing this. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like when you're too hungry to eat sort of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about some clocks. So I guess the first place to start would be, what would be the problem that clocks would be solving? And I think that is something that is a little confusing whenever talking about any sort of solution. So let me take a step back. I think the best way to structure this conversation is to think about like what would be a rule set that uses chess clocks for Malifaux that is good, and what is a rule set that is like bad? Like, because I'm very pro clock, but if they told me on Sunday my tournament is going to be 2 hour round times with 1 hour death clock, I'd say I'm just going to stay home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm very pro clock, right? So I think that's one of the better ways to think about it. Like, what goes in the good bucket? What goes in the bad bucket?
And I think we should go there, but Cody, I wonder, is it better off defining the problem without a solution in mind, right? So is it possible that we should talk about what the problem is with one of the solutions potentially being clocks? Does that make sense? Or do we want to focus just on clocks? Because I think both are valid.
I don't think we have to exclusively talk about clocks.
So let's define the problem.
Yeah. So to me, the problem is games not finishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a damn shame, I'll say. When I have a game that doesn't finish, it feels like you're not playing Malifaux, right?
I agree.
You had sort of an approximation of it.
So why aren't games finishing?
Well, many reasons, right? And you could say round timer, right? You could say, you know, if you only have a 2 hour round timer, you're not finishing. Like 80% probably doesn't finish.
Yeah, but we're working under the constraints. So we're talking in a tournament environment. We're talking, let's say, 2 hour rounds, right? And let's not get caught up in the minutia of 15 minutes between, you know, this and that and stuff like that. Let's just say, you know, tournament scenario, we're not finishing on time. And then I agree with Jesse, what's next? So what are the reasons people are not doing it? And it's because people aren't playing fast enough. Was that a good general explanation? If both people played fast enough,
yeah,
then they would get to turn five, right? So then the next step is what causes someone to quote unquote not play fast enough. So Cody, what do you think are some reasons?
Well, it could be they're new. It could be they're not experienced enough with the crew. I mean, like, I've introduced two of my buddies to Foe since I moved down here, right? And they both went to their first tournament last year before the pandemic hit. And it's a lot of pressure going to your first tournament and having the specter of, if I don't play fast enough, I'm kind of fucking someone I just met.
Yep.
You know? Like, that's kind of a lot of pressure just starting from that perspective, right? Like,
you never want to be the noob.
You don't want to be the guy who not only was the noob and maybe got, you know, like, losing is fine.
Yep.
A lot of the time. But like being someone who's like, we only finished three turns, it's 4-4. There, you know, how you resolve games in Malifaux is unresolved if it's only goes that far. And this guy, you know, wanted to do better than getting a tie round one or something like that.
Yep.
You know? And you're kind of like, you kind of have to be a little bit of an asshole just because you weren't fast enough yet.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons, obviously. The biggest reason is
familiarity with your models, familiarity with the schemes, familiarity with the strategies, having to pick up cards all the time, whether they be scheme cards, strategy cards, or your models cards. I'll throw in there two is inability to make a decision, right?
That's the biggest going through
and not making a decision. I think that's about it, right? I mean, we can get nitpicky and talk about other things. Unless, Jesse, you got a thought?
I actually have two other guys. For the inability, is I would throw in, there's a lot of ways that can happen as well. Like, there are the people who are slow, and it's not their choice to be slow. Second language, second language, English, for instance, working with these cards, they want to play, but it's just, there's extra time going in. Now, that's something they can work on.
Right, and it's very niche
thing.
Too.
It's the same category as the new. Well, I do a lot of work with people in second languages, so it's a thing that comes to mind for me. But there's also there are people who, you know, that anxiety for them is a very real issue. So it's a small category, but there are people who, frankly, are not going to be able to play at the fastest of speeds. Now, there are things you can do to support them.
Right,
I'm pro solving the problem. I just don't think clocks are always the best solution, or at least not the ones I've seen, is where I'm going to get. There's also, people who just aren't really there, and it's not their choice to be. People who are just being lazy, haven't learned all their cards, new players, and then cheaters. People who are using the time as a strategy.
Yeah.
Those are kind of my four-ish categories.
I think you have to sit cheaters aside. Like, when discussing any sort of rule set that you're going to deal with from, like, a, you know, okay, so.
You're not going to legislate those.
Yeah, to take it, my goal with this conversation is to start, I've drafted a rule set using the clock that I'm going to have a link for in the episode description. And what my goal is moving forward with the Malifaux community is that we have a rule set that functions in that people can use, you know, like, so, you know, the North Carolina community may not need it, but in South Carolina, they're like clamoring for clock rules and they're like, let's play death clock. It's like, well, I think there's somewhere in between where we can have a rule set that, you know, has been, you know, thought through and talked through with some of the, I mean, you guys organized the biggest tournament in North America, like, you know, has been thought about by, you know, these experienced TOs and stuff like that.
Yep.
And can be like a rule set that empowers TOs to better solve the issue of an unfinished game. But to Craig's point, I just don't think you can police cheaters with
cheaters are going to cheat. But so now that I think we framed it, Cody, I think it's a perfect time for you to kind of outline, because I think your approach is very interesting. So can you, let's outline it for everybody.
Okay. So, yeah. So the clock rule set that I've been thinking through is basically built on the idea that Malifaux players like diff is the first tiebreak. So I thought, why not just time differential as sort of the first tiebreak when you don't finish a game? And that is what I think is the most important part of developing a rule set using the clock that isn't built from like a punitive perspective. Because to this, to Jesse's point, like, I don't think you can write a clock rule set that punishes cheaters or a clock rule set that punishes slow play. I think any rule set that actually works within the framework of Malifaux has to say something along the lines of like, slow play is still not tolerated. Right. And a TO can DQ you for it at any point, right?
Yep.
So to that end, my sort of idea is to, I'll just read sort of this. So if the game is finished before the round timer is called, the clocks are not used to resolve any additional effect. The system uses differential and clock time with the understanding that alternating decisions in Malifaux make it hard to precisely determine exactly how much time each player uses. The clock runs on whichever player is responsible for making a decision. This more often than not results in the clock running on the activating player entirely. The amount of points a player receives based on clock differential is different depending on how many turns were played. Less points are awarded if the game is closer to natural completion. So my idea is if you only play three turns, you're further away from a natural completion, right? Which is the thing that we, at the end of the day, all want. So at that point, like a huge 30-minute differential between one player versus the other, regardless of how much time was spent, you know, deciding to cheat one of the six cards out of your hand that turn, is significant, right? Like, we all know where those 30 minutes went. They were deciding which model to activate or yep. something like that, you know? Or it was unfamiliarity with your Sandeep crew, so you spent 45 minutes placing terrain markers, you know, something like that. Like, we know where those points are going. And if the game didn't finish, then I think a clock system can at least be sort of an enforcement mechanism to think about where a more fair result could have landed, I guess.
So if I understand it, Cody, the differential turns into points. So if to, you know, whether we turn two or turn four, in some way, the person who has more time left on the clock, which means that they played faster, that would translate into points.
Mm-hmm. And like in turn five, I mean, the exact numbers will have to change, right? Hopefully people can test things more than I have. I've tested a little bit here, but the pandemic kind of threw a wrench in there. So now it's just sort of me and Jimmy and Mike are the only ones that I tested here. Like if a game doesn't finish on turn five, right, and you had three activations left and one person played 5 minutes faster than the other, that shouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That doesn't make sense for that to really matter. But if the game doesn't finish and it's in turn five and there's a 30-minute differential, like that's huge. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about two scenarios then. Scenario one is I'm playing Jesse and Jesse, let's say it's 5-4, right? So Jesse's beating me by a point and Jesse was faster than me. In this case, the clock won't matter, right? Jesse wins either way. Is that am I capturing that correctly? Because all we're doing is churning his five. It's going to matter for differential, but as far as who wins the game,
yeah.
In that scenario, Jesse, instead of being 5-4, ends up being 6-4, depending on however the points work, right? So it doesn't change the result, the win loss result. All it does is impact the differential, which is a separate thing. Now, the other scenario is Jesse has scored 5 points. I have scored 4 points. And again, regardless of where, how many turns we played, I played faster and I'm able to turn my 5-4 either into a 5-5 or a 6-5. So in that case, I scored less points in the game of Malifaux, but because I played faster, I end up winning the game. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's a hell no for me.
Well, see, So here's where I want to try to frame this, because, you know, anytime I like, so I, my Jesse, my initial reaction is the same, which is no, that's terrible. But then I got to go, wait a second. Why is that? Right. Why is my reaction that? And then is that a rational reaction? So here's, this is going to sound really dumb, but what do the points represent in Malifaux? So if I beat you in a perfect world in 5 turns, Cody, it has to be a super perfect world for me to beat you in 5 turns. If I beat you 5-4, what does that represent?
Close game?
No, I have an idea. Right? Like, yeah. What do the points mean? Right? If I beat you 5-4, I mean, part of the reason we love this game, it's not because I rolled better or flipped better than you, right? Part of the reason that we've all gravitated to Malifaux is because we believe that that's minimized, right? We believe, you know. So I know it sounds stupid. What do the points represent? How do I score points? And how did I score more points than you?
Better planning.
Okay. So I played better, right? Focused on the strats and schemes better. Maybe a little bit of luck went my way. Let's say it was a blowout, right? If that turns into, if we add the clock and that turns what was a 5-4 into a 6-5, then suddenly the points mean you didn't play as well as me, but you played faster.
Well, that would be the case if you finish the game. That's the thing that has to be considered at every step of this way. Like, obviously, we want to finish the game. We want to see what happened at the end of the game. But if you only played 3 turns, the amount of variables that exist between 3 and 5 are
good point.
Insane. Yeah. Insane. And yep. And obviously the best way to rectify that would always be like, you know, okay, I'm kind of kicking your ass. Like, 4 of my games have not finished in a tournament situation in 3E. 2 of them are ties, 2 of them were blowouts. Those are real easy to decide. Like, right. What was going to happen on the 5th turn, right? It's like, well, you know, I'm winning by lots. So I'm probably going to win by more, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's just say 7-4. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then the other situation is like, well, we both have 6 points. We're going into there's 5 minutes left on the clock. And we're about to start turn 5. You want to just talk it out, right? And it's like, well, I respect you. You're obviously playing well. Like, I don't think you're good. In order for one of us to win, the other would have to fuck up. So it's a tie. Those are real easy to solve. The ones that are not easy to solve are when you're like, I think I'm going to win by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You sure about that? High, like, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what I want, a clock system that functions and is good. What I want it to do is give TOs a tool belt. Like, I've seen Jesse walk away from a table being like, you guys figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, when someone's like, well, no, I'm going to win by 1 point. Well, no, I'm going to win by 1 point. No, I'm going to win by 1 point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to back that up a second. You see me walk away from tables only when they seem like they're going to figure it out. I've never left a table that's an argument. That's a big difference. I've left a table if they're still talking, but I've got a feeling they can sort this, I will move on. If it feels like they're not going to be able to do it, I stay there as the TO, because that's the TO's job to make that call.
Well, and the reality is that the call for the TO is very easy, right? If the two of you can't work it out, then the game's over and what's the score?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm not going to legislate that process. If you guys can't work it out as a TO, I'm not going to participate in that conversation. I'm not going to weigh in either way. If you guys can't figure it out, then what did you score? What did you score? The game is over.
Yeah. And I have, you know, as a TO who spends half my tournaments as the TO, I think this creates far more trouble for me than it helps. Because you're thinking about how it helps me make this decision at the very end, if it's close and if the, you know, time can be a deciding a tool for that. But I'm looking at all the times in any given tournament that I have to walk up and explain the stupidest shit still to players and explain how this rule works or how that rule works or how people get confused. Every tournament there's something. And, you know, I was watching a game the other night between 2 experienced players. They are in the 4th round and, like, you know, they're like ranked 3-4 in their massive tournament that they're playing in. I watched that game for 3 rounds. Every round had at least 1 error by both players. Mm-hmm. they got a model wrong, they got a range wrong, something was
a rule off. A rule error, not a decision error.
That is technically wrong what just happened there. It's not a strategic choice error, but that was technically wrong. And half of them, maybe, I didn't count exactly, they caught and they were able to walk back, but they didn't catch all of them. But since I wasn't a TO, I'm like, well, I'm just watching this one. And I just imagine putting a clock into that scenario. How do you walk back if you're not entirely sure when you had a missed slap, how much time got in there? And now I imagine that scenario at the end of the game, they're close, and it's like, well, you're beating me by 5 minutes, so you should get a point. And the other guy says, no, you missed that slap, and that was a minute and a half. No, that was 2 minutes. How am I going to resolve that?
Well, and by design, the clocks can't be turned back, right?
Yeah, they can't. And so that's
a missed slap is huge.
That's a misconception by people who don't like clocks is in other games, including War Machine, as soon as you understand that transfer of the clock is your responsibility, not a joint responsibility, then all of that stuff sort of goes out the window. So like, for example, a lot of the issues people have with clocks is like, well, what if they're deciding if they want to cheat? It's like, well, you can flip the clock or you can not flip the clock, right? Like, let's just do it, right?
See, my issue, Cody, I'm with you on this. I think, I play Guild Ball, right? I've played with clocks. And so, like, I'm not concerned about mechanizing clocks in play, right? I say, I've said before, it's more difficult in Malifaux than it is in Guild Ball and in War Machine. And I think Guild Ball is more difficult than War Machine. But it still worked. I mean, everybody played clocks with Guild Ball. I think what makes it trickier in Malifaux is because of the decision exchanges, right? There's a lot of exchanges happening between the active player who's activating a model, nodes or not. But that is not an argument for not using clocks, right? So I agree with you on that, Cody. Like, that can be fucking figured out.
Yeah.
That could be figured out. I'm not saying it's easy, but it could be figured out. And it's a culture thing.
I'm still just looking at it. It is far more exchanges, far more clock plies than Guild Ball, certainly more than chess, just absurdly more. And I'm just looking at all the vague moments where you're not entirely sure which way it's going to go. And the culture can learn that. Right. But I still, I haven't run with a Malifaux clock. For all that we say, by the way, I'm still curious to see somebody try this. I want to see it run as like an event and see how it goes, because I could be totally wrong on this one. But just from like a human factors design perspective, you want to make something faster, inserting another touch point at so many occasions is the opposite of what you would do for error prevention and speeding the game. It is the absolute opposite.
And I get that. And let's also acknowledge the fact that the most qualified voice on here is Cody, because I've never tried it and neither has Jesse, right? Cody has tested this.
Yeah, but that's not a good option. Like,
no, that gives you a more qualified voice in the discussion, because I'm talking theory and so is Jesse. But I guess what the point I'm working towards is that's the stuff that I think we get lost in the minutia when we have this discussion, Cody. And I don't think we should, because that can all be figured out. And quite frankly, I was there with Guild Ball when this discussion started with Guild Ball, and the minutia started there too, with the way the exchange is going, and this isn't War Machine, right? But it got figured out, and it was very clean in Guild Ball, and it became very much a part of Guild Ball. My concern is the fundamental change to the game. And my other concern is that I'm not convinced that not only is this the only solution, I'm also not convinced it's the best solution, because I think it fundamentally changes the game. And that could be a grognard in me just not wanting that to happen. Maybe the game needs to be changed a little bit. But I want there to be an acknowledgement, and I don't know if there is always in this discussion, that the degree of the fundamental of change, because now we're rewarding you for scoring schemes, we're rewarding you for scoring strategies, and we're rewarding you for playing fast.
You already are. Issue, but I want to take a step back, because most people
should. That's no small statement.
I'll come back to it.
Okay,
come back to it, because most people share Jesse's opinion, right? So just allow me to. All right, I have my chess clock here. You can hear that.
Okay,
you hear me. All right. Mm-hmm. So just allow me, because I'm not talking to you two. I'm talking to everyone else.
Got it.
Okay. So they stop listening. In most interactions, right? Parker's attacking, name a model. Parker's attacking Terra, right? Okay, so flip my two cards here. Ooh, a 13 and a 10. All right, he's attacking you. Hits stat 5 plus 13. I'm at 18. What are you at?
4.
Oh, I'm at 11. Okay, so 18 to 11. That's going to be a straight flip, right? You want to cheat?
Nope.
No, I don't want to cheat. Okay, here's damage. Okay, that's going to be moderate of 4. All right.
Got it.
The clock didn't swap at any point in that interaction.
You also had nobody ask any questions.
Yep.
To the point of, how does that trigger work? Do you have your Terra trigger for the whole chest? How does that work? What's the range on this? If I use this push trigger on my thing that I have, where are you going to land?
Let's do that. All right, Parker's going to attack you again. I'm going to attack a Terra. Oh, Red Joker.
I don't have Terra and Parker in front of me. I don't have other cards.
All right, just so I know. I'm currently at, let's see, I'm 5 plus 14. I'm at 19. What do you got? Oh, I'm at 12 with my hole in the chest trigger because I got a mask. He's like, okay, what does it do? It's like, oh, well, since it's a gun attack, it's not going to hit. Okay, all right, I'll shoot again.
Okay, so you asked, what does that do? But you didn't hand over the clock.
That's because it was on me.
That's on him. See, that's his
whole
point.
But what if your opponent takes a minute answering that question?
Then you hit him with the clock, right? So the other scenario, let's do it with you and I, Cody. So you're the active player. So you're on the clock. You're on the clock. You're attacking my Archie.
Yep. All right, flipping two cards. Let's see. I'm 8 plus 5. I'm at 13 right now. What do you got?
All right. And so what's your attack value? You're at 13 and you flipped a 9.
I have no triggers currently.
All right. And what are your other potential triggers that you haven't flipped yet?
I have drop it. That's about it.
All right. All right. Hold on. I got to look at my, and there it is. Right. So I'm dicking around. And at some point, Cody just says, okay, I'm not on the clock anymore. And and then when I go, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Yes. I'm not going to cheat. And then boom, okay. I flip it back.
All right.
To him.
So I mean, it's on the straight flip, right? Okay. I got moderate 4 damage and he's tracking damage. I'm not flipping it over. I'm thinking about my next attack.
Okay. Well, I'm not worried about going far down this road.
I'm talking to someone else. I'm not talking to you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it works people, better than you think.
Yeah.
I will remain pessimistic, but fair. Okay. I still haven't played with it. Would like to see how it works. And I would still, for all that we talk about, I'm really curious that if there are ways to make this work.
He's clock curious.
But I want to get back also to what Greg was starting to drive towards, because I also see answers there that are
okay. Yeah. So
concerning.
My question for you guys is, how do we currently resolve unfinished games?
One of two ways. The game's over and the current score stands, or we work it out.
Yeah. And I think working it out is always going to be the preferable solution.
Preferable solution is to finish the fucking game.
Well, yeah. But the unknown between turn 4 and turn 5. I mean, like, turn 5 is the best part of this fucking game. It's insane when you don't see it.
And this is where I'm headed, Cody, is I feel like we're patching the problem, we're not fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's because your solution only impacts when the problem exists. I'm not sure your solution fixes the problem. And in the process of trying to resolve or patch the problem, when it is a problem, we're adding something to the game that I'm not sure we want to.
We're making playing faster a win condition that's worth points.
Why do you say no? I don't understand that, Cody.
Because it's already a win condition if you're slow playing.
But that's like, talking about cheating then.
Yeah.
We already said we're
setting that aside.
Which
means the people that are going to be most affected by this, because remember we talked about who is playing slowly, are the new people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hammer them under with having a person who's already playing faster because they're smoother and they know their deal now has access to another avenue for getting more points. This is gatekeepy to the extreme. It is. Okay. You're adding a barrier of entry to tournaments.
I'm newer than you guys to the tournament scene. The first tournament that you go to, that specter that I said before of needing to complete your game or you're an asshole is intimidating as fuck. It's way more intimidating than have to do this to me, especially coming from War Machine. We're pulling a lot of people from War Machine. Yeah, we're pulling a lot of people.
It exists without a clock is what your point is, Cody, right?
Yeah. And it's intimidating as fuck to me. Like to know that if I don't get to the end of my game, I will not just lose, but I will piss someone off. That mm-hmm. that is intimidating. Like but that is gatekeepy.
You're trying to get around an issue of satisfaction and an issue of enjoyment of your time playing this game with a mechanical point-based solution. And my struggle there is you're making something where one person's getting pissy because their game's not going to finish becomes an advantage and them winning by more because their opponent might be new or struggling or something like that. That's the gatekeeping. Is it's the people who are faster now have easier access to more points than a new
to
player.
To me, that's an issue of the differential in which you score points.
Yes.
Like that's not an issue of throwing the baby out with the bathwater to me. That's the thing where you would say like, well, I'm an experienced player. I played a 30-minute game. My opponent played a 2-hour game. We didn't finish. We got to turn 5. I had 6 points. They had 3. I got 2 more points. I got up to 8 because we didn't even finish. Like that's a thing where you would adjust, at least in the system that I'm considering, is you would adjust how big the differential has to be before you award certain points.
But that experienced player is already more likely to get higher points anyway. Why are we giving them a win more?
So a couple things real quick. I think talking about gatekeeping adds a whole new level to the conversation. I think that just distracts from it. I'm not saying that your point isn't valid. Jesse, I just don't think I think it distracts from the center core here. Two, the scenario you talked about, Cody, isn't one I'm worried about. Right. And if the only impact was that, mm-hmm. then I would be more for this, to be honest with you. If you said that there's no way the clock can change the win-loss result, that the clock is only a factor in differential by a win or win by how much you won, then honestly, I'm fine with it.
That's interesting.
Right? But my concern is when a loss turns into a tie or a loss turns into a win. That's where my concern is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem for me. That's a blocker for me because then, to Jesse's point, we've added a new win condition to it. I don't mind it if it's just we added a new differential factor to it. That's fine. I don't give a shit about that. And to be honest with you, Cody, your solution is incredibly elegant for that because I agree, and especially in Swiss pairings, that first round, that second round, because you're really, this has become less as an issue as you go down, in most cases, as you go down the tree, right? Because the more experienced players, the better players are playing each other and yada, yada, right? And then the Yahoos that are, new to the game, they're happy just to be flipping cards and getting through 3 turns. But so I'm fine if we said, you know what, let's do this. And what this will do is it'll impact the differential, but will not change the result.
Yeah, I don't hate that solution. I mean, my number one thing is I know clocks speed you up because mm-hmm. I have been in environments where I had to play Time Turn War Machine. You guys want horror stories of clocks? I'll tell you about playing Raven Tear into Terminus. that'll be a 15-minute story about how clocks can be an impediment to enjoyment and can lead to you screaming at your opponent. If you guys want to talk me to tell you about how many times I had to press pause on a motherfucking egg timer while this guy decides who to sack pawn and who to send his tough rolls to, you talk about decision points in one turn. That's 57 decision points that I got to pause the egg timer for.
We saw the kindling and we lit a fire.
So, yeah, I understand that, like, clocks can piss you off. Yeah. And I kind of like your idea. I like that it's it could be just a differential thing.
And now you're going to bring me over to your side because I agree with you. Having the presence of a clock there and having a record of the time differential there will speed up play. Then we say, if you win and you played faster, your differential will increase. All of that I'm good with. All of that I'm good with.
I don't hate that idea. The problem would be then, you got someone who's 40 minutes ahead and in turn 5, now they start playing slow because, you know, they can only get one more point through the system, but they can get three more points through the clock. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why does playing slow doesn't help them in that scenario?
They're already like 40 minutes ahead, you know, going into turn five, right? I've thought about this a lot.
so they're pumping the brakes because they know ends right now, they've got a huge
difference. Yeah, a lot of the gamification for the clock system comes with someone being ahead and then playing slow, right?
Very true.
And that's going to happen whenever you add any sort of more rules, they could be gamed, which is why you have to kind of sort of ignore cheaters from your mind and have to say
I agree.
But what were you saying?
I like it as a tiebreaker. Like, hey, we're in the, you know, we got to turn four. Time ran out. We're tied as far as we can tell. All right, let's use the clock. I like that.
Me too. Breaker.
I'm still pretty solid against points for various reasons, some of which, okay, we're on different pages. But another thing I might throw out there just as a question is, so let's say, Cody, you're kicking ass. It's a 5-round tournament. You're going into round 5. You've been doing well, but your games have been basically against people of similar time frames. And then you roll up to somebody who's got a diff that's like 5 points over yours, because they played people who were really slow and they're playing a speed deck. And that's getting to the next concern that I have, is how do you build a clock system that doesn't prioritize certain builds over others to a point that's problematic. So
if you're playing you fast, you're finishing your game.
Yes. But you're also now saying that some builds, some approaches to this game are less and less valid because they're not fast enough. Now, there's a reasonable point where you say, yeah, seriously, that list just takes way too long to unpack. Don't bring it to tournament. But I want to check. I'm pumping the brakes on where that reasonable line is. I'm worried
about
that.
But that's fucked up.
Which aspect of that?
That you can't bring Cadmus to tournaments. You can't bring Big Hat to tournaments. That's fucked up.
Right, but that's not a clock problem.
That's one thing where I think the clocks can alleviate the social pressure. And that's my one big thing.
But
you
talk social pressure, then you talk mechanical pressure in your solution. You're using a mechanical solution. You're giving points for a social thing.
It's a social contract game that has like we assign mechanics to it, but it's about intent. It's about social contract. There's already fucked up incentives in an unstructured, like, competitively unresolved time framework.
Well, maybe I'm misunderstanding one thing. Let's take a list. Let's take like a classic, the list that, say, Andre out of Texas is famous for, which is he's going to jump you turn one if you sucker into it, turn two probably. He's going to hit you really hard with big claw-filled Nephilim.
Nephilim.
Yeah. It's going to be a short list. It's going to work fast. And then you've got somebody over here who's trying to play Cadmus. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long, slow playlist that's really looking at turn five. Are these two people equally treated by the clock? Or does that speed list, who's going to have like a 15-minute end of game time, if they get to turn five, that speed list is going to have an advantage. They're going to be more likely to have a shorter time used on clock than the other list, is my concern. So explain to me why that isn't the case.
I think we lost Cody.
I think we did.
Man, way to piss him off, Jesse.
Craig, explain to me why... Well, while he's gone, am I crazy? Do I need to reword this in a different way?
No, my focus is different than yours, but no, you're not crazy. But I think the heart of our concerns are the same. Is that what it changes about the game? But as a tiebreaker, I'm good with it. So it's first tiebreaker on a 4-4. Yeah,
I like
use the clock and I like the idea of it being tiered by, right? They're at, like you have. Not tiers. You have variable time differentials before it matters, right? Mm. So, like, to his point, on turn five, if there's a 5-minute difference, then we're just going to tie 4-4, right? But if it's, you know, 30-minute difference on turn five, then, yeah, the faster player won. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And they won by a point. So, you know, that I can actually stomach, because it's not such a large factor that I think it's going to change how the game is played. Mm-hmm. I also agree with Cody that having a clock present will help encourage faster play by just being there. And I think a lot of times when people play slow, they don't realize how slow they play. Mm-hmm. And having a visual artifact there that at the end of the fucking game, you see that you played 30 minutes, you had 30 minutes of more play time than your opponent did in a 2-hour game. can be, you know, a bucket of water to the face.
Yeah.
No. And that's a good thing.
And I'm willing to give that, okay, it doesn't play out the way it might on paper, theoretically, that actually does work out and people will get faster. Okay. I'll give on that. But I do, as you were saying, it looks like maybe we're getting coded back. You know, mechanically, the game is designed and balanced around you being able to get points in these ways.
Right. That I agree with. That's why
like the closest I'll go is a tie break. But even then, we are still adding a major mechanic to the game.
Correct. But it minimizes the change of how, and that's where I was getting to the why do we, you know, what do those points mean and what do those points indicate? That's where I was headed. Is that I don't like the idea of points equaling faster play. That's I don't like. But you know, as far you know, with a graduated differential to create a win to a win more, I'm okay with, and a tiebreaker, I can stomach.
Okay, all right. What were we talking about? We were talking about Nakima.
And we don't need to go too far down this road. Let me just shorten to my concern is that there are a number of ways this could lead to somebody restricting what is even reasonable to bring to the table because of fear for clock, and that it appears to, and maybe I'm just wildly wrong on this, but it appears to empower elite lists over slower, more machiney lists or summoners, which are just going to have more AP to spend. And I worry about forcing people to not bring things to the table because they're worried about that clock. Now, given there is a reasonable point. There's a point at which you look at that Sandeep player and maybe go, dude, that just takes way too freaking long. But I want the TO to have that conversation with the person, if that makes sense.
And there should be an onus on that person that if you're going to bring Sandeep, you need to learn how to play Sandeep.
It's a community question. Yeah. People should be chatting with them going, dude, that just takes way too long.
I think plenty of people play stuff for the first time in tournaments. I mean, like a lot of, but let me go down that rabbit hole just for a bit. So like, say it is Nakima versus Nexus, right? And you only play three turns, right? Now, Nexus, I don't know if you played against the crew, but they summon 45 wounds a turn. You have to kill a bunch of insignificant models before you can touch anything significant, aka something that you can score points off of. And you have to wade through 60 wounds before you can touch anything, right? So, like, if the Nakima player is losing 3-4 in that situation and they get 2 points based off the differential, like, that might be closer to, like, reality. If it's a crew where you have to kill chaff to, you know, get to the juicy nuggets to actually score points, and you're only losing by a point and you only play three turns, I mean, like, that could be closer to reality. Let's not keep it twisted. So say you're Nexus and you're playing 2.5 hour round and you play your game in 1 hour and 15 minutes. This system won't give anybody any points. You know, like if you play your game in 1 hour and 15 minutes and so do they, then there's no issue. The issue, though, is when you're the Nakima player and they play like they play their Nexus game in 2 hours and you play you get to play 30 minutes. I mean, like, and then the game still doesn't finish. I don't know. To me, that's a bigger problem than being unable to maybe, you know, like bring Sandeep or something.
But it's a pretty dicey prospect, though, is my concern, right? Because we don't know. At the end of turn three, that the Cadmus player would have lost, right? But now he did lose, even though he had more points, and that's why, like, here's where you've got me, like, on board. Let's do it. I love the idea of clocks being there because clocks will speed up play. I 100% agree with you there, Cody. And the one thing I mentioned after we lost you, is, and I've seen this with Guild Ball, is that people who play slow often have no concept of how slow they're playing.
Yeah.
But by having an artifact there, that after 2.5 hours, I look at that thing and my opponent's got 45 minutes more than I do, that's a wake-up call. And that makes me realize, holy crap, I do play slow a lot. It is documented proof of my situation, and that's a good thing, right? That we've got, that we show that. As a tiebreaker, I can be swayed. Like, I could even make an argument that says, yes, if we get there, not turn five, end of game tiebreaker, you get all five turns and it's 4-4, then it's 4-4, regardless of what the clock says. Yeah. But if it's turn 3-4-4, than the person who's got, and again, granulated, if I've got 2 minutes more than my opponent, then I don't break the tie. Right. But if I've got 30 minutes more or whatever we decide that that, you know, tolerance level is, that could be the tiebreaker that turns it to 5-4. It's the changing the win conditions that concern me. And the other thing that Jesse and I talked about a little bit when we lost you is I feel like we jump to the clock as the solution whenever this conversation ends up coming up. Because I think we can all agree on the problem. The game is better and designed to be played for 5 turns. In the same way it's designed to be played with 50 stones, right? 50 stones, 5 turns. That's what everything is play tested for. That's what everything is designed for. The game is better that way. Everybody's happier that way. That's
double masters allowed. Yeah, keep going, keep going.
Double masters allowed. I argue that as well. So
double, triple.
Yep.
But I don't feel like clocks are the only solution. And I don't think, and I don't think they're a perfect solution, but I don't think you're arguing that either, Cody.
Nope.
And I want to jump in.
Go ahead. Justin.
I want to jump in with Craig here. I can meet you happily at the tiebreak as well for all the reasons Craig just said. I struggle more if it's worth points and it can lead to that scenario where it flips because the game is balanced around you scoring all of your victory points from schemes and strats. It's not balanced.
But in 5 turns.
So yeah. That's why I give on the tie.
Yeah.
If you didn't reach the end, I give that. But I also, and this is jumping right back into Craig was saying, we should talk about other ways, not just the clock. So you've been frustrated with me saying that I'm just anti-clock. I want to solve the same problem. I'm looking for other solutions to work with this. Even if it's, I'll throw this one out as a starter. I have seen tables lose 10 minutes of their game time before the first initiative flip.
Yeah.
What if we hit that?
So, yeah, I agree. And so here's a case study. And this happened before the big NC Grand Tournament, before COVID. One of the things, and Cody, you were still up here, so you were part of this and you heard this. I was making, and I think Jesse was part of it, was making a big push for faster play. And like at Tuesday nights at Game Theory, like it was, hey guys, this is what I want us to work on. Let's work on finishing this. I want you guys to time your games. And I want you to talk about, you know, where we're losing time. Let's, as a meta, get faster. And on the podcast, I've said several times, look, guys, start making decisions. Start just because you're going to learn more by making the wrong decision quick than making the right decision and not making all the decision because the game didn't finish. So like at some point you've got to learn to train yourself to just, you know what? I'm just going to activate this model. You know what? I'm not going to cheat. You know what? I'm going to, you know, declare this trigger. And that's a cultural thing that I think as a meta, you can build that up. And I felt like until COVID hit that we made huge strides here and see meta. I think we made huge strides. And I think we saw that because we saw at the end, the tournaments at the end before COVID were finishing. Like more games were finishing than when we identified the problem when no games would finish in 5 turns.
I was one of those players that was overthinking and taking too long to do stuff. So I started self-clocking. I know I was using a clock for myself, but I was just saying, it's like, look, if I'm fiddling around, it's taking me too long to choose my model. I would just yell at myself, say, oop, time's up. And whatever I used chess rules, whatever my hand's on, that's what I'm activating. Whatever I'm looking at right now, I guess this changeling is going now. Okay. You know, because I had used too much time, but that's solving it at the community level in practice and really looking at your community values and making it important there and using the chess clock in a safer environment where I'm not going to have two people nearly in a fist fight over how time was used.
Think that, yeah, I mean, that works for certain communities, but it definitely wouldn't work. It doesn't work for everyone.
No, for sure. I agree.
I mean, you have a lot of new communities popping up that are coming from other games using clocks, and they understand, you know, that clocks can alleviate social pressure, which is a point I haven't really got to sort of expand on.
You've said it a lot of times. I think I get the idea.
Yeah, you don't let me get to it, but it's like
expand on it.
Yeah, so if you have to go to the bathroom, what do you do in the current system? Like that's like a social pressure where it's a thing where it's like, come on, you know, your opponent's like pissed at you. You know, if the game doesn't finish and you had to take two pisses throughout it, you know, that kind of sucks. You know, there's a thread on AWP like every other week about counting cards and at what point is it bad manners to write stuff down? You know, like in my Discord, there was like, 15 different opinions on like what you can write down and what you can't write down. Like with a clock, you know, you don't have to be there. There isn't so much pressure there for it to be social policed. Because I mean, like most of the people who play this game are not like socially adept and are not fully capable of just going like, all right, dude, hurry the fuck up. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like in some ways it does alleviate things for certain people.
Yeah. I think that's a factor. I don't know if that's a leg to stand on for the argument, Cody, but I think it's definitely a factor.
Well, I mean, like, if you want to take, if you're a mediocre player who wants to take Big Hat to a tournament, why do you have to feel like a dick? You know what I mean? If you're playing on a clock, then you don't have to feel like a dick. You know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to try to finish. And I know I got to explain all my auras to you and it's going to take a long time. I got to say that he's within six of him, but he's not within six of him. He's within eight of him, but not an eight of him. And it's going to take a while, but I'm going to play fast. And if we don't finish, there's this clock system, you know, like I feel like that's a net positive as opposed to, because the one thing that's sort of not said is like, we're still doing something, you know, to police unfinished games. It's just, you know, different.
Like, oh yeah. I mean, that's my point, right? Yeah. I mean, we all agree on the problem. Yeah. We all agree that, you know, if the problem was fixed, then this discussion wouldn't need to be had. That's without saying. I don't believe the solution that the community solution is going to fit all. And I don't believe it's being used. I think what we did in North Carolina was somewhat unique. I did not hear when I was running USFT and it was active, I didn't hear anybody else doing that. Doesn't mean it wasn't happening, right? Not everybody talked to me, but I think that regardless of whether we agree on clocks or not, and even if clocks are instituted tomorrow, that needs to be something that should be done. And to the point where it becomes culturally, to the point where someone might go, you know what? I'm not ready to bring Big Hat to this tournament because I don't know them well enough to play them in this environment. I need to play them on Tuesday nights for a while before this crew and me are tournament ready. Mm-hmm. And then there's a social culture around that and an expectation around that.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, maybe I'm, because I have, in terms of Malifaux, I've only worked with this meta. And in terms of wargaming, you know, I played Battletech as a kid, then I came back here. So I don't have those other meta experiences. But I'm also like a teacher and an educational psychologist and things like that. So like I'm coming to this, like these conversations that we were having, I was at times very intentional. But that also skews the experience and the perspective that I'm bringing to this conversation is I've seen it work decently well here. And so I come to this conversation, I think, so shouldn't they just do that? Maybe that's not something, mm-hmm. as you said, maybe that's not something every community is ready to do. And so I really appreciate the idea that this should be a community by community, sort of a meta choice. Like what works for them? Is it to train and sort of coach each other to be faster and be like, you know, think of the wellness and happiness of the community? Or is it to say, nah, that's not going to fly, chess clock, because we're not going to develop conversations.
Point I was making is we have to be careful about creating a system that legislates to the lowest common denominator. So we can't look to the worst cases of this problem, right? So if you've got somebody in your meta who is playing slow, deliberately or not, and potentially winning games that they shouldn't have won, creating a system for that one person is a mistake. Legislating to the lowest common denominator and bringing everybody with you is a mistake. That's a one-on-one conversation or a many-to-one conversation, depending on what it is. And that's a danger to take care of. And I think sometimes what we'll be tempted to do is because we don't want to have the hard conversation, which is, you know, Joe Blow, you know, you got to cut this out. So to avoid having that conversation, suddenly we create rules. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, Cody, but it's a perpetuity because we don't want to have the hard conversation that we tend to passive aggressively try to take care of it with a bunch of BS around it. But I don't think that's what you're proposing there.
No, I agree with you. I mean, like, you can't, that's why, like when, this conversation was going on in the NC chat, like I was trying to talk to Jesse, and then people kept saying the word punishment. I'm like, no, you can't come from this with a place of saying punish. Like, that's not it. That's not where it comes from. And I think the best system will not come from that position. And to be clear, my position is like, I want a rule set to be out there that people who are going to play with clocks anyway, because that's happening. Like, people are going to play with clocks. There was a post on AWP, and I was surprised. There's like 15 people some dude's like, how do I work on playing faster? 15 people are like, play with the clock, dude. You know, like, this is happening. You know what I mean? So what I want is like a rule set that is tested and sort of functional. And like, my druthers would be like, if I had my druthers, it would be like, even Warhammer 40K, you can request a clock.
Right.
That would be my like ideal solution, is there's like a tested rule set that is not overly punitive, and it uses the clock. And if you show up at a tournament and you played Sand Deep into summer, you could say, all right, we need a clock for this one. Yeah.
It's like, this, you know what I mean? This is going to get silly. We might not finish turn one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with all of that. And the other point that was made, Cody, and it was kind of, you know, offhanded, but I think it's a huge one, is having it be a community decision. And I could, and I'm not coming out of this conversation as nearly anti-clock as I was before. And I don't even consider myself anti-clock, to be perfectly honest with you, after this conversation. One thing I would never, ever do is go to the Texas meta and go, you guys shouldn't be playing with clocks. Like, if the Texas meta is playing with clocks and they like clocks and it's working for them, I'm going to keep my yap shut, because guess what? My opinion doesn't matter at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I walked up, you know, say I go play like Virginia Beach or something like that, and they're running a clock and I don't like their clock. Okay. It's their clock. It's their meta. I'm the guest.
Yes. I've come there to play with you.
I'm here to play with you. Cool. Where's the rule sheet? Let me catch up. Yep. And it's on me. I'm totally down with that. It's whatever your local meta chooses, that's your choice. It's your game.
But I like your intent, Cody, which is let's as a greater group on both sides of the pond, let's play around with some ideas. So for those that do want to use clocks, is there a potential somewhat universal system that we could throw out there and get, you know, 50, 100 people to F around with and give feedback on? I love that idea.
Great.
But if you want to make me advocate for it, Craig Shipman advocated for it, then you have to get, that's I have voiced my one concern. And I've, you know, as I anticipated, because, well, Cody's reasonably smart. I'm not surprised that having this conversation has made me understand things better. Because you're a pretty smart dude, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a rule set that comes from like that's why I got the most triggered when you said gatekeeping, because I think Malifaux tournament system is a little gatekeepy currently.
And well, Malifaux the game.
It is. The game already is. Yeah. And that's why
the game is a hard game.
I'm sensitive to adding anything that is perceived as an extra complication because it makes that entry point harder. Now, you guys are saying, dude, it's not a problem. Okay. Maybe it's not. Let's play around with it. But that's where I get really gun. That's one of the first points I get really gun shy, is if a newbie's going to walk up to that tournament and the fact that there's a clock will turn them away because they're ready, or if they're just going to get hammered under because they happen to be new and there's point spread based on the fact that they're new. That's a trigger for me. Yeah. It's a problem.
And I think in theory, Jesse, everything you said is very valid. I don't know if it would be valid in practice. So if we talk about what would be the gatekeeping, somebody keeping it from Malifaux, I don't think the clock would be the factor. Right? I think there's a lot of other things that would be
about gatekeeping from someone saying, hearing about their first tournament and be like, oh yeah, I'll go. You know, I think that's the gatekeeping we're talking about, right?
No, I think he's using the term gate, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, keeping somebody from playing the game.
Yes.
Right. Dissuading somebody, which isn't exactly gatekeeping, but I understand how you're using the term.
Yeah, because I've already talked with, you know, people before who've been shy of going to tournaments. And I've had to sort of say, hey, look, it's a comfortable environment. It's cool. We're good. You know, just come in and, you know, play your game. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I've been in that role of trying to convince them. And so any additional perceived barrier, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it is the thing.
Right.
If the clock is the deciding point of whether or not they're coming, then they were already really swinging on
that fence. That's the point I was going to make.
Yeah.
And if you're using another point that should be said out loud too, is if you're using clocks in your tournament, you better be using them on Tuesday nights too.
Absolutely. Right?
So if it, because you don't want the first time anybody's seeing that clock, they've been playing the same people on Tuesday nights, and then suddenly they go to a tournament and there's a clock. That's a recipe for disaster.
I will say this again and again and again. It should be in practice first, tournament second. This should be a community thing. And, you know, maybe not every game, because you're like, hey, I just need to take some time. I got a bud right here. We've agreed this is going to be a while. Okay. But if it's like, hey, we're getting ready, we're doing practice, like, start that clock.
Yeah, in no way am I trying to get you to buy 15 chess clocks for your next tournament you're organizing.
You're part of Big Clock. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
but like, I'm sensitive to, like, I've been listening to, like, the Rage Quit Wire guys, and they're new to Malifaux. They started effectively right when the pandemic started. And there's, you know, they have this sort of similar background to me, War Machine and Guild Ball. And they've said stuff like, if I play Cadmus, you know, and I know the game's not going to, I'm just going to surrender. You know what I mean? Like, there's already a little bit of a gatekeepy thing in sort of, you know, that pressure of, like, not being able to finish the game and, you know, feeling sort of cucked by that the system that sort of already exists.
I hope you're not looking to Rage Quit Wire for a rational discussion. I love you, Pete, but
I'm saying they're like new guy, you know, they're like newer players. So that I think then their perspective is from a new player.
And I think, where I hear this conversation among a lot of people who are like, ready, hey, let's do clocks. Again, you know, we're not talking science here because we haven't done proper research on this or testing even. But I see people who are already like veterans saying clocks are cool. And I'm just really, I wonder about the rest of the people that aren't already spending 2 or 3 hours of their working day on the forums talking about Malifaux all the time. Where are they on this, and how's it going to impact them? So that's a concern that I have.
Yeah,
is the people whose voices we aren't hearing, and there's more of them.
Yeah, there's the only voices that matter are people with podcasts. We've established that.
I know. I'm kind of curious. Like, am I muted because I don't have a podcast? I'm assuming you're going to edit me out.
How did this happen, Cody? I only come on with other talent, Cody.
Yeah, I gotta talk to my booker. This is some bullshit.
This is what happens when the fifth guy says, I can't make it. You invite Justin.
I'm confused. Somebody said there'd be ice cream.
I thought we were going to talk about Pathfinder.
Like, I can talk about my Elven Ranger all day long.
So to kind of bring it around a little bit, Cody, I've explained what you have swayed me on. Do you feel like I've articulated that well enough?
Yeah.
So how have you swayed at all?
I could buy that idea of, like, it only affects differential, but the thing it would have to do is I can understand the thing of, like, I don't want a loss to go to a win, but it would have to be able to go from a loss to a tie for me, like 100%.
And my initial reaction to that is fuck no, but then I realize that I have a huge logic error, right? Because if I'm willing to go from tie to win, then why am I unwilling to go from loss to tie? So then I realized that if I'm going to accept tie to win, then I need to accept loss to tie.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I lose all. Like, I make no sense if I don't agree with that, right? So just to be consistent.
I think the only issue would be at that point, it's more of a non-issue, or be like, well, if it's not going to matter, then why even do it? You know what I mean? Which would be some people's, you know, devil's advocate position. But again, it's not supposed to, like, I don't want it to be a win condition. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you listen to the episode I had Oliver on where he's like, you know, time is a win condition. I'm like, shut up. We don't talk about that. You know, like, right now it's just a thing you're not allowed to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Which I think is not the best system from my seat. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it's okay for everybody to say out loud, like, Malifaux has a time problem, right? So this isn't Absolutely. Just a community problem.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying it's competitively unresolved.
I mean, everybody knows that I'm a huge fanboy of the guys in Georgia. But I think Malifaux has a time problem. I think it takes too long to play Malifaux.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think the people that can play it in the 2 hours would be happier if they played it in an hour and 10 minutes. let alone the people that are playing it, you know, casually in four and a half hours. How much happier would they be playing it in 3 hours?
I think there's also an aspect of because there is such a depth of interactions that's possible. And this is where, again, we reach that cliff of it's no longer even close to reasonable. But this is something that attracts me to Malifaux. I'm not playing, you know, I wasn't playing War Machine. I wasn't playing these other games because I was bored.
Yeah.
Just bored. But these interactions, these going on, even these machine lists or something where it's like, okay, I just spent this AP and four different things happened. As long as it's not getting to the point where I'm playing my own game and the opponent's just watching, that's, to me, is the joy of Malifaux. And I would be, I just want to make sure we put in a system that gets us faster without taking some of that joy away.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, a big contributing factor to the fact that Malifaux takes a long time to play is what I love about Malifaux, and that is the strategies and schemes. Part of the reason that War Machine and Guild Ball could be played with a clock and could be played faster is because the win conditions were simple, and they were pretty damn consistent. That's not the case with Malifaux. That's part of what we love about Malifaux. But I think that there's, I think we can keep that. Well, here's a hot take that'll get people all pissed off. I think the game could be simpler. I think that they what they went through from M2E to M3E, I wish they'd gone farther. I didn't know it now before, but now I kind of do. So
that tells people I take joy in the complication of the game. Thank you, Craig.
Yeah, I was whatever fucking makes you hate the game.
But you're still right. I think we could go further towards that simplification.
Yeah, I mean, I said
still keep the spirit of Malifaux.
Correct. Said publicly, remove all triggers. I hate them. So, I mean, like, I could definitely use some simplicity.
Yeah, I think, was it you, Cody? Who was I talking to? No, it was, may have been, who was it? It was somebody that had been on my podcast. I loved their idea of, simplifying the models and just reducing the model count, but keeping all the sculpts and just basically turning, like, combining, like, four different models into one model and just having like 12 different sculpts for it. And I can't remember who it was.
That was one of your early ones with a European.
I remember Doxy. I think it was Doxy that said it. Yeah. But we're going on a huge tangent at this point.
Yeah.
But
I guess that's about it.
Hold on one second. No. We got covered your sway. We covered my sway. I want to know if Jesse's opinion changed at all.
So my sway, for all of me being the pessimist in here, I still believe I have not been anti-clock. I'm just trying to look for the best, fairest clock. I am happy if we're looking at something that is essentially a tiebreaker. I'm still concerned about handing out points for time. I still think that leads to prioritizing lists and scenarios where, you know, an alpha elite list is still going to have a mechanical advantage above and beyond AP on the table and abilities on the models that is now actually given point values. And that is a deep concern for me, but I am also delightfully curious to see what people come up with for solutions and testing it out in their crowds.
So let me see if I can clarify though. So your idea is like the clock's not doing anything to an individual game, but being a tiebreaker at the end of the tournament.
No, he's saying a tiebreaker at the end of an individual match.
But like, I mean, I'm just taking his idea to like the logical.
Oh, yeah.
Say we did have clock differential as the second tiebreaker or the first tiebreaker at the end of the tournament. Is that something like you're more interested in?
I'm making sure I'm thinking the same thing that you're thinking. Maybe. I'm interested in still playing with some of the ways that some of the permutations of this. One thing I'm gun shy of, and I think I've said this before, is okay, so, you know, whatever, we tied, but because of time, I got three more points than you. I could end up winning the tournament, a 5-round tournament. I could have the exact same win-loss ratio as somebody else, but I win because I played faster and they maybe didn't even have the opportunity. Maybe they played 30-minute matches and their opponents did too. It's a weird scenario, and I'm just looking at trying to reduce weird scenarios.
I mean, the opposite exists where it's like, if I would have had another turn, I would have scored 3 points and I would have won the tournament. I would have got second place instead of ninth place. You know,
but that's where stuff happens already. Again, you know, the experience that we've had in North Carolina, you know, our solution for, you know, time is out has worked pretty well for people to talk out how it would go. And we have a very pretty minimal amount of argumentation at that. People can sort it out with our community practice. So, you know, those points that you're talking about, would I have gotten them? People have been able to talk those out. So in our case, I feel less the need for a clock. other communities may just straight up need it.
Ironically, I think that our meta could absorb a clock much easier than a lot of other ones might be able to because of the pre-work we've done, right? That a priority was put on for a period of time and a culture of making decisions and the value of making decisions and the value of encouraging faster play. It was not rude in North Carolina, and I hope it's not when we get back there for me to be able to say to somebody, anybody going, need you to activate a mile. And that wasn't considered a rude thing to say.
Yep.
Or me saying, hey, are you going to cheat? Need you to make a decision. And we built a culture where that wasn't like Christ being an asshole. And nor should it be.
All right. So I think that's it for us. For you listeners, if you made it this far, you're probably interested in clocks to begin with. So I recommend you look in the episode description, check out the rules. And if you were clock curious to begin with, you know, give them a shot. Test them out at your local play day and revise them. And, you know, like I said, my hope is that the community comes up with something.
You know, it's very cool for you to have done this, Cody.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of legwork writing up that document already.
Thanks, guys.
What are you doing in my swamp?